Listen, you don't want to, when a bad report, an evil report, or a situation of devastation comes to your life, at that moment, try to go groping for a scripture or for a word from the Lord or for God to intervene when you got nothing in your heart. That's when fear really can grab a hold of you. What I'd like to do today is to just talk about a few things so that we can really prepare for the battles. How many of you know you are going to have battles? You will absolutely have tribulations. Troubles will actually come to you, but they don't have to take you out. They don't have to shipwreck your faith. They don't have to destabilize you and make your whole world come into chaos. They don't have to do that. And I'll tell you what, the times that I overcome sickness and the devil is when I slap him down fast and hard. I'm serious. That's when you've got to really be able to be there. When troubles come, that you slap it down quick and hard so that it can't do anything with you. We can't be too nice about this. So we're going to talk about the armor of God today. And we're going to talk, go ahead and turn to Ephesians with me. And have a little grace for Debbie up there because she has no idea where I'm going or what I'm doing. So just have grace for her, would you please? So let's go ahead in Ephesians chapter 6 and let's look at some things. I want to look at this, past tense, the past tense. Starting in verse 12, we're going to read down through verse 18. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood. Stop. That is huge. It's not the people, is it?
No.
But the devil uses people. We see out of our natural eyes, we see flesh and blood, right? But that's not the problem. We need to get that settled into our heart. That is not the issue. It is principalities and powers. It is demonic forces working through individuals and circumstances, right? And that's, we need to realize this. Let's get this down in our heart first. That's how we deal with it. We nip it in the bud in the spiritual realm before it gets to the natural realm. Are you with me? That's how we really prepare for battle. We get it dealt with in the spirit so that when it shows up in the natural, it's no big deal. We already got it handled. Are you with me? Verse 12, we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. I just want to let you know. You want to know what day is the evil day? Say this. Today is the evil day. Today is the evil day. These days on the earth, they are evil. What makes them evil? God says evil is disobedience, not believing Him. That's what He calls evil. Disobedient, not believing Him. This day does not believe God. The people in this world do not trust in the Lord. They don't believe Him for their finances, for their health, for their relationships, for all that they desire of this world. They don't trust God for it. That's why it's an evil day. Let's go on. And having done all to stand, therefore, look at this, having. Having is past tense, right? Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Let's talk about those for just a second. Having already done it. What does that look like? Can I say this for me? That, you know, it was difficult for me to believe that I was righteous in the sight of God. Is that hard for anybody else? That I am above condemnation. I am actually above being criticized. I am above reproach. I am blameless in the sight of God. He will never, ever blame me again. That was hard for me to get. Is that hard for anybody else? I'll tell you what. I'll just tell you the truth. I've had phone calls this week already where people have been getting beat up by the devil and he's been coming against them in the forms of oppression, adversarial pursuits, different things, health and finances, coming against them. And you know what I noticed in all four of those people? They really did not get that they are righteous in the sight of God. that they are perfectly clean and perfectly accepted in the presence of God. They didn't believe it yet. And if we don't believe it, we can't put it on. So if we say we have faith and we have the Word of God, but we don't have a helmet of salvation or a breastplate of righteousness, if he gets past that shield, he can kill me right then and there because I don't have the breastplate of righteousness on. We have to be able to walk in righteousness. So how do we do that? We do that by getting this in our hearts. Let's go ahead and turn to a couple of scriptures real quick. Look at this in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through 14. I had no idea how good God was. I had no idea at all on what he actually did for me. What I did do is say that Jesus died for my sins. Anybody can say that? I can say that he baptized me in his Holy Spirit because I can pray in tongues, right? I can say that. But I still had condemnation attacking me. If I got in an argument with somebody and they started throwing their words at me, I started reacting as if I was guilty or as if I did something wrong. And it started squashing me in the presence of God and in my enemy. Are you with me? Look at this in verse 12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Are you with me? What it's saying here right now is this, that if any of us in this room still need milk, still need just the basic little things in life, in other words, if we're still carnal, in other words, we still have backbiting, murmuring, complaining, we get offended real easily, we get pushed out of shape, if we're still that kind of a person, we talk bad about people because they didn't do something you wanted them to do, or they did something and you weren't able to do it, and all of a sudden this stuff starts rising up, we're still babies. We're still judging each other and scrumpling a bunch each other. We're still babes needing milk. We really do not understand that we have to have our senses exercised. What does that mean to have our senses exercised? It means that we can really discern both good and evil. Both good and evil are bad. What? How can you say good and evil are bad? Both good and evil are bad. They're from the same tree. We don't eat from that tree anymore. Listen, people praising you and telling you great things and you're all that, I love you. You know what? That is nothing. It means absolutely nothing. It's just the opposite of you're a low down, dirty, rotten scoundrel. That's all it is. They're both plays on you. They're both trying to manipulate you in some way or another, either to get you lifted up or to put you down. But they're both, neither one of them has eternal life attached to them. Neither one, the fruit of good and evil goes bye-bye. And we live by the tree of life now, right? Everlasting life, which is knowing what? God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to be able to discern the difference. And as we grow up, we are not moved by our emotions so much. Are you with me? Go ahead and look in Romans chapter 9. So when we want to prepare for battle in a time of peace, what we have to do is actually get our armor on, first of all. We have to actually get our armor on. Romans chapter 9, we're going to start in a verse 27 and go through somewhere. We're going to just go ahead and go out to, for Debbie, go to 10:13. We'll go in that area. If I get in a battle with somebody, I have to have armor on, don't I? If I'm a soldier. But if I don't have my armor on, I can't win a fight, can I? So when I'm enlisted in an army or in the service, don't I have to go through boot camp first? It would be smart, right? Anyone that's a skilled tradesman even, when you go into a job, you get tools, right? You have to learn how to use your tools, don't you? You're not a master right off the bat. I'll tell you what, some of you, if I just put a long sword in your hand and told you to go kill your enemies, some of you couldn't even do it. You wouldn't even know how to lift that sword or how to hit. Not that we stab people anymore in this world. It's just a metaphor, okay? But it's like, how do you really use the tool that you have? How do you actually use it to be able to respond quickly? And a soldier, when he gets his armor on, remember David? David was going up against Goliath, and Saul wanted to give his armor to David. Well, that worked for Saul just fine. He had tried that armor. It fit him. He can do it. David couldn't work that way. It didn't work for David. It was somebody else's stuff. He had to do it the way that works for him, right? And so we need to understand that we are righteous in the sight of God. Really, this is a big deal in the body of Christ, that we really are absolutely clean in his presence, that we're absolutely right with him all the time, and that you can't wreck it. What? Can I say that? You cannot wreck it. It's forever true. No matter what you're living on the earth, you're caught up in the minutiae of what's going on, but God is not distracted by it. God is not distracted by what you're going through. He's with you in it, and he's loving you, and he's good to you, and he's for you. He is not distracted by what we have to do on this earth. We have to grow up to handle our situations on the earth, spiritually speaking. Amen? So we got to figure out our salvation in the area of our breastplate of righteousness as one of the pieces of armor that protect us against the wiles of the devil. You say, Robert, why do I need to know I'm righteous? Because the devil will slam you with condemnation. The devil will slam you with shame. How many of you have grown up with a life that is perfect? No troubles, no conflicts, no evil speaking about you. Everyone loves you and has always just loved you. I want to meet you and hug you if you exist, because I don't know anybody like that except Jesus. And I didn't meet him face to face when he was on the earth. So each one of us has to really get into the Word ourselves so that we can get that piece of armor on. So let me ask you, can you be successful without your righteousness on? You know what? You could actually. In some situations, you can. If you rise up in faith, if you have your shield of faith, and you rise up in faith, and you are really in faith over a situation, when situations come, your faith goes before you, right? And sometimes that can vanquish your enemies right then. And it never gets to a deeper part of you, that you yourself, how you are. Because faith has guarded you a bit. Right? So just by being in faith and you seeing that faith work, you can get results and you can have things. However, sometimes he gets through. Sometimes he gets through your faith by lobbing a few at you, and next thing you know, you're standing there and you got to go hand to hand with this guy. And when you got to go hand to hand with this guy or whatever the situation is, you've got to know who you are in Christ. It's very imperative. Amen. Are you with me? Look at this in Romans chapter 9, starting in verse 27. It says, Isaiah also cries out concerning Israel. Though the number of the children of Israel be as the sands of the sea, the remnant will be saved, for he will finish the work and cut it short. How? In righteousness, because the Lord will make a short work upon the earth. And Isaiah said before, unless the Lord of Sabaoth, that's the Lord of hosts, not the Sabbath, the Lord of hosts had left us a seed, which was Jesus, we would have become like Sodom, and we would have been made like Gomorrah without Jesus. Therefore, or rather in verse 30, it says, what shall we say then? that the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith? 31. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law, for they stumbled at the stumbling stone. Stop. In other words, this. I have dealt with a lot of people when it comes to condemnation, guilt, and shame. Really, those things grab a hold of the inside of you. They grab a hold of your mind, and they squash you tight. And they make you feel inadequate. You're not measuring up. There's something wrong with you. You're flawed. Okay? They have very real physiologically effects on your physical body. They do. And if you are not able to, by faith, accept that you are righteous, even when you don't feel it, even when you have gone through situations that you go, well, if you were to videotape my life, you don't see any fruit of righteousness in my life yet, but you will. As we believe by faith and keep walking it out by faith and keep believing God that, Lord, you made me righteous. I did not make me righteous. You did it. And as I keep pressing into that and keep pressing into that, pretty soon, guess what? I will believe it. That's a note. Preparing for battle in times of peace. Get in the Word and hit it over and over and over again until you believe it. When you believe it, it will become what's called a rhema word. Those are the words that you live by. Those are the ones that put life in you. Didn't Jesus say that man shall not live by what? Bread alone, but by every word, rhema, that proceeds from where? The mouth of God. So how do you get a rhema word from the Bible? You read it, and you say it, and you think about it, and you read it, and you say it, and you think about it, and you talk to the Lord about it, and you talk to other people about it, and you keep working on it, and working on it, and working on it, until it finally moves the furthest distance a man can measure, 18 inches from here to here. Sometimes that's 1,000,000 miles. Sometimes it's very difficult to get it from here to here. It's only 18 inches, at least on me. But I'll tell you what, you got to get it from here to who I am. When the light hits it, after I've been saying it and saying it and saying it and thinking about it and tearing it apart and looking at other verses, and I finally work it, work it, work it, work it, and snap, it becomes life to me. It's alive. It's true. It's really true to me. That's a rhema of God that just changed me. Once it gets to there, it's forever settled. It is a done deal. You can walk in the confidence of that after you've got it. But you have to have it to have it in your armor and arsenal. Are you with me? Look at this. It says, for here, this is all very common to us. I'm going to go ahead and start in chapter 10, verse 1. It says, brethren, my heart desires and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness, look at this, that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. In other words, they tried to be clean and acceptable and holy before God by doing the right things, by acting the right way. They did not understand that their righteousness is like filthy rags. It's good for nothing. Your self-effort to be good enough for God doesn't do anything. And if you do it that way, the devil can really slam you when you mess up. But I'll tell you, if Jesus made you righteous and not of yourself, but it's a free gift, then guess what? The devil can't ever take it from you. Because he will evaluate you according to what you do. But you've now moved from what you do to who you be. And when you get it in your heart that this is who I am, no longer can the devil use it against me anymore because I don't fight in that arena. I got it. Look at this. Very famous scriptures. We're going to read in verse 8, 9, and 10. Ready? But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In other words, is this is a transformation process. When we believe that Jesus was raised from the dead, we get rescued. Because that means man has now been raised from the dead. And if one guy gets raised from the dead, we all get to be raised from the dead. Are you with me? If one guy, if it's good enough for one guy, then it's good enough for all of us, right? Adam sinned, right? It hit all of us, didn't it stain all of us? We weren't even there, but it stained us. So by Jesus raising, it hits all of us. And we don't have to do anything for it. We just accept it. Remember when I said that he cut the work short in righteousness? You know what that means? It's like this. We had Adam, the first Adam, and he was a man of dust. We all came from him in our flesh, right? And Adam and all these generations and genealogies have come down through history until Jesus Christ, who is what? The last Adam. He's the last man. Now, after Jesus, God no longer deals with man according to the flesh. Because in Jesus, we died. In Jesus, it ended. So now, we are all dealt with according to the Spirit. That way, if the Spirit has nothing to do with us, if we don't get the life of the Spirit now and walk in the Spirit now, there's something called a second death. I don't mean to scare anybody, but that's how God gets rid of everybody else that doesn't want to live according to the Spirit and according to Jesus Christ. And that's how he gets rid of them in the second death. So right now, we're living in this natural life according to the Spirit. We are a new man and a new woman according to God, right? We need to get that settled down in our hearts that that's true. That's the part of the helmet of our salvation. We have to know that we are forever redeemed in the sight of God. You know, I remember the day that I was in Bible college, and I know exactly where I was standing by this time clock we had, where you punch out and all, we had a key card thing. And I remember standing there, and I was talking to somebody, and all of a sudden it dawned on me. I finally got it. I will forever be in heaven with the Lord. That's a fact, and I'll never lose it. I finally got utterly convinced that I will always be with the Lord in heaven, that I really am saved. You know, that light had to go on for me. Before that, I always wondered if I was being good enough, if I was doing it right, you know. Oh, no, I'm afraid of the coming of the Lord. What if I'm judged for this or for that? And I was always worried about it until that day when I got it in my heart enough and enough and enough and enough. And then finally, bang, I am forever settled. Are you with me? So we have to wake up in our hearts to the fact that we are righteous. When we do that, boom, it's a done deal. Are you with me? All right, so let's move on. So, that's just one of our weapons of our warfare, that we're righteous. How many of y'all know you're righteous? Say this after me. Say, Lord, whether I know it or not, I am righteous. In your eyes, I am blameless. I'm above reproach. I'm accepted. And I'm going to learn. I'm going to fill my heart that I can walk in that. I have a breastplate of righteousness. In Jesus' name. Amen. So get that settled down in your heart. We are in boot camp, talking about boot camp and preparing for battle in times of peace. Before you really need that piece of information. Okay? So some of us, we need to do that. So how do you get it down in your heart? I talked about it briefly. One. Sorry. This is the way. Reading this, thinking about this, pondering it, talking about it, asking questions to other people, letting them tell you what they're getting, and unfold this book so that the eyes of your heart can understand. Not your physical eyes, the eyes of your heart. How many of y'all can say that there was a time when you read this book and the eyes of your heart did not understand it yet? It was just words. It was a book. It was too hard. For me, I couldn't do it. I had to get something called The Spiritual Man by Watchman Nee, which was a book that I read word by word. And every time I had a verse in it, I would highlight it and then read it in the Bible to see what it was meaning. And finally, after a few weeks of reading this book and going into my Bible, my eyes started opening. My spiritual eyes started opening. And the eyes of my heart started seeing in the spiritual realm. And revelation started hitting my heart. And now I can see in the spirit. Because I just kept murmuring over this, not murmuring and complaining, but meditating on this over and over, keeping it in my heart until my eyes could see. Are you with me? We have to feed on this. If we don't feed on this, the devil can beat the snot out of us in this natural world. He really can. How many of you can honestly say, do not raise your hands, please, do not raise your hands, that if you knew the word better and were convinced of some of the things it says, that you would not have some of the difficulties in your life that you have now? I said not to raise your hands. You weren't the only one, okay? You weren't the only one. I have a problem. You know, we all had them up spiritually, trust me. We all did. If we really believed what we were reading, right? And listen, we have to learn how to believe it. Just saying that the Bible says this doesn't do it for me. Listen, I may fool you because I can quote the verses in this book. They're here. I agree that they're true. I absolutely agree that I would never say they're not true. But some of them are not who I am as a person yet. I don't manifest that truth in my natural man yet. And so in those areas, I have to press in. Any of you? So let's talk about healing then for a minute. How many of you have ever had to face sickness? Only a couple, praise God. Oh, more of you, all right. You know that? I have had to do it too. But the thing is, when I get my verses like 2 Peter 2:24, that by his stripes I was healed, or by Isaiah 53, and I get those chapters and those verses into my heart, that I've gotten victory over the devil, that he's been defeated. How about that one? How about principalities and powers in Colossians 2:15, that they've been destroyed? You know that? When I start getting those things in my heart, guess what I realize? The devil really is not allowed to put sickness on me. He's transgressing the rules. He's breaking the rules. He's not allowed to do that. Why can I say that? Listen to this. Jesus never sinned, did he? He never, ever, ever, ever sinned, right? The wages of sin is death. He died, and he never sinned. Guess what? The devil lost the title to this world when Jesus was crucified on that cross. The devil lost his authority in this world. So anything he does, he's stealing. If he's stealing what? Your health. He steals your health. He's robbing you of a vital life, vitality in your body. It's a robbery. That's all it is. So when we can get to the place that we really have this down in our heart, when troubles come, when our body starts doing things that it wasn't designed to do, guess what? Instead of saying, well, I must be getting old, you know what you say instead? You stay and says, no, body, in Jesus' name. I've been redeemed of this, and I do not have to give in to this. Listen, it's the truth. If you got the word in your heart, the small things, you can knock them down real quick. Real quick, the little things. The bigger things takes more effort. Takes more effort. Some fights, if you got your sword and you're good with your sword, some of your enemies you can lop their head off real quick, right? Some of them, if you just charge them, they'll run away. Some of them, when they realize that this guy or this woman is not a pushover, they're going to actually stand up to me. They won't even bother you. The sniffles will come and they'll go because you know in Jesus' name, right? Some things don't go so easy. You're going to have to make a move out of the way. And you don't do it by forcing them out of the way. How do you do it then, Robert? We come from a place of victory. We've already won the battle. We enter his rest. Remember the Jews or the Israelites when they were coming out of the wilderness? They had to fight all the enemies in the promised land. And then you know what happened? Because they're murmuring and complaining, they never got to enter the rest. Joshua couldn't let them just be done. They always had to fight. But you and I are not like that. We're not disbelieving people. When we can believe that Jesus did it all, then we don't have to fight it. Our battle is in trusting that we already have the victory. So by you having your armor on, that you are redeemed. You are saved. When your mind is set in that, guess what? Stop. It's already done deal. When your heart, I am the righteousness of God. I am blameless. I am above reproach. Get it. It's on. I walk in the truth. I believe the Lord's word is true. Lord, you and you alone are my truth. And you get it. The feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peace is irony, however you say that. And it really means to rest and to be quiet. But you know what it means? To be prosperous in God. And to be set at one again with him. It means to be one with God. And when we really realize that we've been reconciled back to him, that we've been made one with him, what can steal us out of his hand? Nothing can. When we really know that we're one, like when I started to really recognize the presence of the Holy Spirit with us all the time, when we really let that be the dominant way that we live, it really is the dominant posture that we have, is that we are one with God and that God is faithful and that we are redeemed and that we are blessed and anointed. When we really settle down into that, when you meet other people, it'll just roll off of your tongue. It'll just roll off. You'll be prepared to tell them the real good news of being made one again with the Lord. The preparation of the gospel of peace. The good news, the too good to be true news, the almost too good to be true news, that I'm one with the Lord. It's not that I'm going to be one. I am one. He has made us one with him. The Bible says that he who is joined to the Lord is what? One spirit with him. Isn't that true? It's really true. So, if we prepare right, by using our artillery and our weapons, we have to fight less. Way less. You know why? Because we'll be the biggest, baddest dude in the room when it comes to the devil. The devil doesn't measure you by the stature of your flesh. He doesn't measure you by the color of your eyes. If he did, I'd win every time. He doesn't measure you that way. He measures you on your spiritual prowess. Do you have the goods? Will you operate spiritually and see things from a spiritual point of view and handle them as such? If God is spirit and not flesh, then I have to relate to him spirit to spirit, do I not? That means that that's the real you and the real me is the spiritual person, right? That means that I have to really get that settled down in my heart. That I am spiritual. I am equipped. I am filled. I am lacking no good thing. In fact, Colossians goes so far to say that I am complete in him. Amen. So guess what? We got some work to do, bless God. We really do. You know, here's the thing. It's not enough that I do this. It's not. It's just not enough. In other words, like this. If I took you, I took Miss Millie, and I gave her some armor, and I put this armor on her, or I gave it to her, and she put it on the best she knows how, right? Does that make her equipped to fight? No way. She still has to be trained, right? I still need to be trained. I have to fight some fights. I have to fight some fights. Not only that, but I need my brother Mark, who has his armor on, that's been fighting a little longer than I have, on how to take out some of those enemies faster, on how to use my sword a little bit better, which are the words of my mouth, that I'm saying the same thing God says. Words are your weapon. They are powerful. I'll give an example. If I offend you, forgive me quickly, would you? Okay, say, Robert, I forgive you now. Amen. Thank you. So, I got one credit now. Amen. Do you know that word? I'll prove to you how powerful words are. Is that good? How many of you, when you get flipping mad, really mad, I mean above reasonable, you are busting a gasket. How many of you bust a gasket and say no words? Two people in the whole room, three, some three. I'm talking about beyond your control, busting a gasket. Do you know what? If you get to that place, everyone does. You use words. You decide to use words to demolish what you consider your enemy is. Don't you? I'm not even going to try to say what you say because I'll need you to forgive me again. But we do. I have seen in my past the jobs that I have had. I have seen domestic disputes. I've never had any. But I've seen a few. Oh, my wife wasn't even in the room? Oh, I lost a perfectly good one. Darn, I wasted it. I did miss that one, didn't I? She's not even in the room to hear it. All right, so I've had one or two domestic disputes. Do you know a lot of it was in words back and forth? Hurting and being hurt, reacting to the hurt, using words. You know, we may be able to use enough self-control that we don't hit each other, hopefully. But we certainly can loose a few words, can't we? So we know that words are weapons. We know that words are weapons. We've used them as such. It works with the devil too. Not in telling him how bad he is. In agreeing with God with what he says. That you are the righteousness of God. You are forever redeemed. You are forever going to be settled in heaven in the presence of God. You are forever blessed, forever anointed, forever accepted into the love of God. Forever. And that your life on this earth is just a spit in the bucket compared to how long you are going to live. You have eternal life. And you will endure forever and ever and ever. And you will always be in the presence and the glory of the Lord. You will have such joy overtaking you that words cannot even express how good that life that you're experiencing is. It will be so overwhelming that every trouble and every devil you have ever had to face won't even come to mind. It'll be so non, it won't even matter because of the goodness of God and the greatness of his glory that we will all get to experience for all eternity. Any battle we have now is nothing compared to the weight of glory that we will walk in for all eternity. And we have to put it in perspective. He will come. He will attack. You will have troubles. But when you use your words to say what God says, you'll chase him off. You'll change the circumstances. You'll change the atmosphere around you by the posture that you take. That's why we need our armor tried and tested. We do. Baby, you just missed out on a great compliment I gave you. You weren't even here to hear it. Amen. I'll tell you what. So I'll tell you, what we've got is a really good deal. In fact, it's so good, it's almost too good to be true. That's why they call it the gospel. Jesus, who you and I hadn't met yet, he was before you and I were born, fought a fight that you and I will never have to fight, gained a victory that you and I don't have to earn, we just get it as a free gift, and forever made us anointed, prosperous, rich, one with the Lord, and all that he has and is shared with us equally. And we don't have to do anything except believe that it's true. And therefore, we need to be in this book. It's not just words, you guys. It's a reality. And when the reality of who we are in the Spirit settles down in our hearts, most fights will end before you show up. Most problems will be just little squimishes. They'll be no big deal. I'll tell you this. I have ended several fights by forgiving the other person before it even started. I could just feel that it's going to be a problem. I could feel the tension in the room rising. I forgive him right then because I realize it's not them. Something else is stirring them up. Something else put a hurt in their heart that they haven't known how to handle it. Something else is going on in their life that they have a problem that they can't solve, and it's freaking them out on the inside, so they're lashing out at me right now. It's not me. Because only the devil is the traducer. That means he's a blamer. He blames. If you're being blamed for anything, it's not the Holy Spirit or anyone that's walking in the spirit of love. It's not. It is the devil working through people because they're merely looking at the situation according to the natural and the carnal man or woman. But you are not that person. You are going to have the fullness of God operating through you. He came the first time, it says in Hebrews, for sin. But he comes the second time for redemption. He comes the second time to get what he paid for. That our physical flesh, if we happen to be blessed by being on the earth when he comes, this flesh will be swallowed up by life instantly. Swallowed up by life instantly, and the glory of God will shine from us instantly. Because when he comes, we'll be like him. That's good news. That's really good news. And it's the truth of who we are. So even if you don't see that operating in you yet, it's still true. Don't lose heart. Don't give up. Don't give in. Get this settled in your heart. So we have to put on our armor, our feet. Are you ready to really let people know that you are one with God and they are one with God of no work of their own? Go to 2 Corinthians 5:21. It's not of their own. You're telling them something that took place before they were even born. It's a gift. And if we can really settle that down, that nothing can snatch me out of the Lord. I am one with him. I am forever settled in heaven. I am the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It's right here in your Bibles. If you got the same kind as me. Ready? This is God, for he made him, Jesus. So God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us. What? Wait a second, stop. God made Jesus, who had never sinned in his life, who never had anything to do with sin. He never transgressed God ever. He never fell short. He never missed the mark. He never created an offense with God. Never. And God made him sin. He didn't deserve it. He didn't earn it. He didn't cause it. He didn't do anything to deserve it. He accepted that it was. And because of that, God made you and I the righteousness of Jesus. We don't deserve it. We didn't earn it. We didn't have a life worthy of it. He just bestowed it upon us. In Christ, we are absolutely righteous in God. In Christ, we are above reproach and above being blamed for anything. In Christ, we have eternal life. Christ is our life. Jesus deserves the glory. You know, I have a friend here in this room, and we were talking the other day, and this person has really been pressing in. They've really been taking this to heart and really been spending more time in their Bible and really been wanting that their spiritual eyes have been opened up. They really want to see and to be able to participate spiritually. They really want to walk in what the Bible says is available for us, and they see what other people are walking in. And you know what? They were telling me that how they were reading a psalm and how that psalm all of a sudden just starts speaking life to them and how the presence of God just filled them in that page while they were reading. It really meant something to them. For the first time, it just, you know how you can read something and read something and read something and all of a sudden, was that in there all along? And life was just coming off those pages. Amen. He's no respecter of persons. He's no respecter of persons. Every one of us are equal in the sight of God. He gives revelation to anyone that presses in for it. He gives his spirit without measure to anyone who wants to walk in it. Are you that person? Yes, I am, Lord. Thank you. Yes, I am. Praise the Lord.